flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
So I saw, let's go straight. I want to give my man Kieran the beam of love. He put this on the screen. He says, new injury for Fox. De'Aaron Fox listed as questionable for Saturday's game with a thumb injury. That's from Underdog, he says. If you caught the top of the show, you heard us talking about De'Aaron just playing through stuff. De'Aaron, I think, is dealing De'Aaron, in addition to his mangled finger, he's dealing with a hand injury. By all appearances, whatever he's been playing through was re-injured last night. It's probably something that needs to be looked at and addressed, but he's been playing through it, and it appears he's in. It appears he's just going to keep playing through it. De'Aaron Fox on the injury report with a thumb issue. You're probably going to see that pretty regularly moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what that means for tomorrow. Obviously, I think his best quarter was the fourth quarter, but I think he hurt it relatively early in yesterday's game, or I shouldn't say hurt it. He re-injured it in yesterday's game, and yeah, I mean, De'Aaron is just gutting it out. That's what he's doing, man. He's just kind of gutting it out and playing through the aches and the pains and the injuries. And I think, what do we say, 40 minutes? Is that what he played last night?
Yeah,
De'Aaron played 40 minutes last night dealing with that hand injury through most of that game.
And salute to him, man. You know, it's a level of toughness. You know, and he's shown that before. This isn't a new thing. He's played through injuries. He's played through bumps and bruises. And I'm not even, like, trying to diminish. Like, he's had some – you know, some tough injuries that he's, you know, decided to give it a go or come back early from or anything like that. So he's a tough guy when it comes to this stuff. The only time that, you know, it took him a while was when that damn ankle was hurt.
Well, that damn ankle. That damn ankle. Oh, man. That ankle was a bitch to deal with.
But no, man, he's shown this level of toughness to play through pain before, and we talked about it earlier.
I think it sucks that he probably feels like he has to.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise you got Malik playing 40 minutes. You probably got Keon playing 40 minutes. You got, you know, your depth that you lack becomes worse.
Do you think it would be any different? Like, say, all right, say they trade for John Collins today. Do you think it'd be any different? Like, he'd be like, oh, we got Collins now. I don't have to play. Like, I just think that's when you're him.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of just
but
part of the job.
Maybe. Okay, sure. When you're him, sure. But maybe if you're Doug and Monty, in the front office, the collective, hey, we know you want to play, man. Just let's get it looked at. Let's just get it looked at and see what we're dealing with. Let's just chill here for a second. We can get through the next couple of games. Let's just try to get through this. Whereas it's like, oh, man, oh, it's re-injured. Oh, I could tough it out and play through it. Okay. No, if you think you can do it, it's cool. Okay. All right. You let us know. You might be more, you know, willing. Oh, okay, it's fine. If Aaron says he can go, he can go. Whereas if you feel like, oh, yo, Foxy, we got this. Mm-hmm. It might just be a different – you might be less likely to try to talk him out of it.
True.
If you don't have that depth there.
Fair enough. Yeah, man. And we talked about it earlier. It's one of those things where some of the things that we're hearing and just also reading the tea leaves, like it's not like, oh, if you take this weekend off with New York and Brooklyn and come back Wednesday, then – That's going to be the rest you needed to. That's not what it is. Like, it's like that pinky, you know,
mm-hmm.
You may, you know, need to correct that with surgery, or it's going to be a pain tolerance thing. That's what it kind of feels like. And like you said, whatever he's going through, might have, you know, re-injured. He'd been dealing with it, might have re-injured it last night against Denver. So.
Yeah, man. Shout out to De'Aaron. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough.
He is, man. He,
I get frustrated with his approach sometimes, but bro is tough.
He plays through injuries, man.
He does.
He does.
Yeah. He absolutely does.
Before James gets here, I want to just kind of get this in because I'm anxious to hear what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Championship Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys haven't heard.
But one quick thing. I hate the Pete Carroll hire. I don't like it. I've tried to talk myself into it all morning. I don't like it. It's a 3-year deal. He's 74 years old in September. You literally just hired a temporary coach. And I think Eddie's right. Now you're just going to go get a temporary quarterback. I hate that. I don't like this.
But if you got the successor there, if Pete.
Whose successor?
Pete. If he has the guy, if he goes and puts the staff together and handpicks a guy that, you know, maybe you don't have the experience or maybe you need a couple years as a coordinator.
Okay.
I'm going to bring you over here and you're going to take over when I leave. That could happen. I don't know if that's the plan. Okay. I'm just saying that could happen.
Okay.
Could happen.
I hope you're right. I saw it, and I was like, I like Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him for the Raiders. And I just like, okay. And I hate it. I do. I don't like it at all. But I'll root for it. I like Pete Carroll. I want the Raiders to do well. I really hope Russell Wilson isn't their quarterback next year. I hope Kirk Cousins isn't their quarterback next year. I hope for Sam Darnold's sake he's not the quarterback next year. I don't know what the answer is for them, but there's your Raider minute. So, sorry.
It's your Raider minute. Championship Sunday, we mentioned it earlier, too. D'Lo and KC going to be on the post game on CBS 13 Sports Extra after the AFC Championship game, so check us out there. And speaking of the AFC Championship game, give me a scenario without turnovers that Buffalo beats Kansas City, because I can't think of one.
Give you a scenario without turnovers where Buffalo beats Kansas City.
A realistic scenario.
Oh, Josh Allen has the game of his life.
Yeah.
You don't see it? So can I tell you what I don't like?
Mm.
They got him last time. That's really what I don't like. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really what I don't like. Josh Allen, if Josh Allen wins the MVP,
mm-hmm.
he did it because of that moment. When you look at Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson's numbers across the board are better than Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He has no standout moment where you're like, go up against all the big dogs. He lost pretty much all those games.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go to the Buffalo one early in the season, but he lost all of those games.
Yeah.
Josh Allen beat Patrick Mahomes because of Josh Allen. His move, his play, his run, that sealed the victory for them. That's great for his MVP candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
For beating the Kansas City Chiefs the second time, I don't like it.
And I even look back a little further. This is basically the same teams, both of them, that played last year in the playoffs and he couldn't get it done at home. Now with one less dynamic, and I know maybe there was some internal stuff going on, but no Stephon Diggs now, you're going to go in there and go to KC and beat that defense this time? Like, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't think he has enough weapons around him to affect that defense. Like you said, Josh Allen would have to play the game of his life, and he's capable of it. I don't think he's not capable of it. What he did last week ain't going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to get it done. Like, he's going to have to be superhuman. And I just don't think they got enough. I think Kansas City's actually going to win that game rather easily. I got them winning. I think they're going to win that one rather easily. And now let me be clear. I want Buffalo to win. I don't want Kansas City to win. I want Buffalo to win. Shout out to my neighbors, Akrita and Ender, you know, two of the biggest Bills fans I know. I want to see you guys celebrating on Sunday night. Like, I'm going to be rooting for Buffalo to win. I don't think they can. I don't think they will. They can. I don't think they will beat the Chiefs. Then the other game, I think Jaden's going to do it, man. I think Jaden's going to do it. The thing that I keep coming back to, while Philly's defense is top flight with Fangio there, I think Washington isn't worried about him. They've seen him twice, played well with them against them in a Thursday night game earlier in the season. And then Philly was winning the other game, but Jaden Daniels had 5 touchdowns against that defense to come back and win the second game. I don't think they're going to be worried about Philly at all. If they can, I'm not even going to say stop. If they can just hold their own against Saquon and make the Eagles have to beat them with Jalen Hurts in the pocket, that's the formula, because I don't know if Jalen can do that. I don't know if he can do that on a regular day. We talked about the concussion situation. He's still dealing with the knee situation. He's kind of banged up. So I think Washington's going to get him, man. I do. I want a Washington Buffalo Super Bowl. I don't think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be Washington and Kansas City. And Jaden, he might be the only hope to stop the Chiefs at this point.
I really hope Washington wins. I worry about them a little bit in Philly. And to me, it all boils down to Saquon. Stopping an effective run game is so different than stopping an effective pass game in my mind, because you know chunks of yards on passes, stuff that hurt, like that's frustrating. Stopping an effective run game physically hurts. You know what I mean? And then if it's 7 degrees outside or whatever, you know, Eddie said a second ago, I don't know what it is in Philly, but I'm sure it's cold out there on the East Coast. Do I want to hang my hat on Jaden Daniels, or do I want to hang my hat on Saquon Barkley? And those are the only two people I'm thinking about. I would love for Washington to win this game. Love. I think it's Philly.
If Jalen Hurts was healthy, I would have a little bit more hesitancy to take Washington.
Sure.
But he's not right.
Yep.
I think it's not the only way. Saquon, you get under center, you hand it off, he can still run effectively. But that read option is a big part of what they do too. And if Jalen can't execute that because of the knee, that's one less thing they have in their holster. And Philly could easily win. I think Washington's going to do it. And I'm not breaking news or anything. I'm all in on Jaden. I think Jaden is special. I'm not trying to compare the two, like, because I like him too. But the way people feel about CJ, I didn't necessarily feel the same way. I feel that way about Jaden. Jaden is the next great quarterback.
I'm with you.
He's the next great quarterback.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I'm thinking about Saquon and Saquon only. I ain't even thinking about Vic Fangio. To be honest with you,
he is a game changer.
I'm thinking about Saquon Barkley, and there's no reason with the way that he played this year to believe that he won't play like that Sunday, like some version of that. Whether it's the 205 yards that he had the other day, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if he's, you know, yards that are if he has plays where he is wearing down that defense and you're having long sustained drives, like
that offensive line is still one of the best in the game too. So, you know, that goes into opening those holes for
Jalen
Saquon to have those big time plays with.
Jalen sounds like a Travis Scott song right now. I don't have any confidence in him. That man either sound like a Travis Scott song or sound like he had a Travis Scott concert.
I can
concert.
Go for Harry time.
And the sad part is, it's not funny, but it's like, yo, who? They should have immediately said, hey, you can have Saquon. We know how Jalen got through this game. You can't talk to him right now. We're going to get him back. And it's worse. We know he's dealing with the physical. Yo, the man came off an abnormally long concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. And you put this dude on television, and he's been doing the press conferences. He sounds fine. Mm-hmm. He clearly was, and we know this isn't a secret. We know he was using something to get through that game the other night. Mm-hmm. Don't put the man on TV. Like I was listening to him. Like God, I'm thinking concussion, not Percocet. I'm thinking, hey, he's not right. Like this isn't okay. And it's like, oh, they probably drugged him up and got him through the game and. And then, you know, 2 days later, he's doing media and he sounds fine.
What did he say? I don't know. I don't really deal with the snow too much. I shouldn't laugh. I hope my brother's okay, man. But, yeah, he sounded different.
I hope the injury's okay. I hope his head is okay. That's what concerned me. Is I did not think anything about painkillers. All I thought was, this man is concussed. Like, he's punch drunk. Mm-hmm. No, he was just out there Travis Scottin'.
Yeah, he sounded different.
Yeah, he's not sound okay, man. Let's bring in our man, James Hamm, our insider from the Insiders. Hammer, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, France?
Man, just sitting here waiting for a trade to get done, waiting for something to happen, waiting for Jimmy Butler to go to Phoenix, so I guess everything else can fall into place. I don't know, man. Other than that, we vibing.
Yeah, I hear you. It is a weird waiting game that we're in right now, and I think we all kind of know that there's something going on. It's just, when will it happen?
We should probably start with this. De'Aaron Fox listed on the injury report with a thumb injury, listed as questionable for tomorrow night's game against New York. De'Aaron has been dealing with a hand injury for I'm not sure how long, but for a while. And he got pretty roughed up yesterday and I guess re-injured it. And it feels like De'Aaron is playing through a lot of ailments, Hammer.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's an accumulation issue as much as it is one specific injury. I mean, I think we all know the pinky on his left hand is completely mangled. Mm-hmm. And like after this season, that's going to require, you know, some sort of surgery. Without any question. Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting to, you know, if he can hold out until the off season, that's one thing. But we also know that, you know, he took that big spill when Jaren Jackson mm-hmm. Jr. Undercut him in a dirty way when they played Memphis. And, you know, from what I know there, you know, he had a glute contusion and it's kind of moved around a little bit into the low back and, you know, he's not moving the same way. And now the thumb injury, to be honest with you, I hadn't looked at the injury report, but definitely had started hearing about stuff with that last night a little bit, that there's a thumb injury and that it could be something more serious, but we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, again, you saw, I think it was the second quarter, he got karate chopped by Jokic. And you could see him holding his right thumb. He's so, yeah, there's an issue. And we're going to have to see how this all plays out with him. But, like, look, he's been fighting through stuff all season long, and he keeps showing up every game. I think at this point he's only missed 3 games the entire season. Mm. He's made it. He's done a concerted effort to play as much as possible. I think him and Domas both sort of set the tempo when it comes to that with this team, that if you're at all able to play, that you will. And we'll have to see how much this sort of brings him down. But let's be honest, he hasn't looked like himself for at least the last 4 games where he's under 20 points every single game. But realistically, since he took the big spill, he's not going to the lane nearly as much. He's not getting to the free throw line nearly as much. And, you know, I don't know if he needs a break, but he certainly is someone who's a little beat up and battered at this point.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
James, we kind of, myself and Damian, we kind of went back and forth, and then we agreed actually about whether or not, hey, a game or two will help out with some of the ailments. I'm not going to say it hurt, but I don't think it's going to help the way everybody else does. But what do you think? If he took off two games, you know, to just kind of settle everything down, you think that'd be beneficial for him?
No, at this point, like, look, I think they're going to, you know, duct tape the dude together until they get to the All-Star break and hope for that things chill out at the All-Star break. You know, barring him, like, having to go out for, you know, with the thumb injury for a longer period. You know, again, when you get, when you're playing every single game and you're playing every night and the schedule just keeps coming at you, this happens. And to be honest with you, it happens most of the time in January for De'Aaron Fox. He always has a January swoon, which, to be honest with you, it's like the most unfortunate time to have these types of things happen to him. Where, you know, we talked about it earlier on the Insiders, Kenny, whether he runs out of gas or whether this is a point in the season where an accumulation of injuries slow him down. Every January is kind of an off month for him. And it just happens to be that month where everyone's deciding on who's going to be an All-Star and who's not. And to me, it's really unfortunate because here we are, you know, a couple of games ago, he was sixth in the league in scoring and now he's 12th. And he's still really high up as far as Western Conference scoring. And if you look at the Western Conference as a whole, there's not a legitimate reason for him not to make the playoffs, not to make the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that he will be in it. And it's different. It's a little difficult to get to the All-Star game when, you know, you have a downturn time right when they're making all these decisions.
Mm-hmm. Hammer, what'd you take away from last night's game? Certainly quite a fourth quarter, quite a finish, kind of the Doug Christie MO. We're going to go down swinging and we're throwing haymakers trying to, you know, knock out essentially the big fella. And it didn't work. But did you, you know, I think we all kind of agreed it's nothing to overreact to. You hate the term scheduled loss, but I think, as you said in your six quick thoughts last night, it's kind of real. And last night was as real as it gets for Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, there are such things as scheduling losses in the NBA. But what I like about last night, and, you know, Kyle and I had a disagreement on this. He thought, hey, you should have waved the white flag, you know, maybe go 3 minutes into the fourth quarter, maybe not. You know, maybe just when Jokic hit that, you know, three-quarter court bomb and you just, you know, put icing on the cake of the third quarter, you're like, okay, why don't we just end it here and and roll out and let the young guys play in this in the fourth. But I think that there's a cultural shift that's going on right now with the Sacramento Kings. And it's not that the culture was bad before, but there are teams in the league that have just this weird thing about them that they never give in. And they make you play it out all the way to the end. And we talk about the Memphis Grizzlies all the time. This is kind of who they are, their mantra. It's like, it doesn't matter if we're down 12 with 3 minutes left. You're going to have to play those 3 minutes. And I like that mentality. I think that mentality in the regular season wins you an extra like six or eight games a year. And if the Kings can develop that type of mentality, I'm all here for it. I think the one problem that I see is if that's how the mentality you're going to play with, you better have more than 8 or 9 guys that can actually suit up and play for you every night. Mm-hmm. And it can actually make a difference. And I think that that's one of the problems that you have right now is we're all concerned looking at it just pure minutes and you know, like how do you play De'Aaron Fox 40 minutes and DeMar DeRozan 39 minutes, like 2 nights in a row. Those are things that like stand out, but like, look, you're a professional basketball player and everyone wants to talk about Doug being a you know, former player. He played in an era where you didn't sit, where, you know, Doug went out there with bone spurs in one of his ankles. And when they went to go like do the surgery on his bone spurs, it was so intertwined with his ligaments and his tendons and his ankle that it took like 6 or 7 hours mm-hmm. to work it, to clean his ankle up. That's what you did in that era. You played, and you know, kudos to Doug for being a warrior on the court, but you can't say, oh, you know, we got a former coach, a former player. He knows this and that. He knows what we're going through. And then when he starts playing you 38, 39 minutes a game, expecting you to go out there and play, you start to back off of it. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate what's happening right now. The Kings, you know, they have a long road trip, but the road trip is spaced out once you get past those first two games where you've got the Knicks, but then you have a day off, you have the Nets, you have 3 or 4 days in the same hotel room in New York City. Every single game is kind of spaced out. And so look, if you're not going to play back-to-backs the whole time, why not give it a shot? Why not make a run at a team and why not mess with the Denver Nuggets a little bit so they remember that you're not a team that lays down the next time you play them?
Yeah. What did you think about Doug McDermott's fourth quarter, second half, his appearance out there? And a little two-part question, do you think he's earned himself some time, another opportunity to see what he can do?
Yeah, I think he has. I think, like, look, if a trade is going to go down here in the next, you know, day, 2, 3, 12, whatever it might be, you know, whatever day that trade goes down, I think everybody, if it's a trade of any substantial, you know, improvement, it likely includes Kevin Huerter. Mm-hmm. And that's not to be a jerk to Kevin or to call Kevin out or anything else. It's just an honest assessment. Kevin makes $17 million a year. His salary is what fits into most trade scenarios. And so there's a good chance that he wouldn't be here after the trade. So why not give Doug McDermott an opportunity? You know, Doug McDermott has been a phenomenal shooter for the last, you know, 8-10 years in the league. And if you're going to need shooting, you're going to, you know, Kenny, we talk about this all the time. You know, you go and you trade Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter for John Collins or for Cam Johnson or whoever that player is, you're now down one of your rotational players because this team doesn't have a ton of rotational players outside of their top 6 guys. So if Doug McDermott can raise his hand and say, I got you, I can play, I can go out there and shoot threes like Kevin Huerter was supposed to this year, which, again, look at McDermott shooting like 44.5% or something from three.
I know. I've been saying it.
That's not what you said. You are a flat-out liar. Sorry, James.
So, go ahead. So I'm just saying, like, look, if you're going to trade somebody, it's going to create a hole in your rotation. And maybe Doug McDermott fits in and steps up and becomes a player. You know, I'm not talking, you know, 20 minutes a night, but if he could play 12, if he can play 15 minutes a night and maybe hit 40% from three on the season and give you a real threat, because Doug is really, I mean, every time he touches the ball, you're like, oh, that's going up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug has done a really good job of showing up. And every time he stepped on the court, there is zero hesitation. And he is like the benchmark that young players or Keegan Murray or, again, Kevin Huerter, any of these guys, they should live by. Just watch him play. Like, he's there to do one thing, and that's to shoot the ball. And as soon as he touches it, everybody in the gym is like, oh, here it comes. So, look, I think that's a good thing to have on your roster. And it's one of the reasons why the Kings guaranteed his contract. you know, just in case you do need him down the stretch. And, you know, maybe they go on, they get a couple of players here at the deadline, but maybe they're not able to do to bring in a couple of players. Maybe they're only able to bring in one big swing and then maybe convert Isaac Jones after the trade deadline. And so that would be a second player. And I mean, he's playing out of his mind in the G League all of a sudden. I don't know if you guys have been watching that, but he's like 4 or 5 games into a streak of 30 games. I mean, 30 points plus, including a 42-point game the other night. So that kid's showing that he might be ready to help out. And so it's you got to figure out ways to fill the holes if you're going to make some trades here.
I was going to let it go.
I said it.
Yeah.
I was going to let it go.
Holes in the roster, man. Holes in the roster.
Life advice from James Hamrick.
Children.
How do you... You brought up the G League stuff. How do you truly assess that stuff? Like what you're seeing? You mentioned the streak of 30-point games, the big, you know, all of that. It's like, all right, that's great. Like, and obviously that's what you want to see. It's what the G League is for. But like, how do you make the call? Like, all right, okay, let's do it.
Okay, so I think it's really interesting. Kyle's been saying this for a long time that, you know, if you go watch a G League game, there's just no good big men. And then I was in the locker room the other night and we were talking to Mason Jones, and Mason said, hey, like, look, this is not to take anything away from Isaac Jones. He's like, but you do know that there are a whole bunch of dudes like Mason was saying, like me, like Mason Jones in the G League that are, you know, 6'6" guards. There's a ton of us. He's like, but there are not a ton of big men. And so if you go down to the G League, there's a good chance you're going to play against somebody who's not very good at your position. And it's kind of expected that big men do well, but doing well in the G League and going out there and putting a 42 and 35 and 32 and 31, and you're just like one game after another, he's just like performing, that's different. And so I think the first thing he has to do is he really has to work better as a rebounder. He's done a really good job of scoring, but you know, that 42-point game, he only had 5 boards. So that's one thing. But outside of that, like, look, there should be a way in which, Isaac Jones, like at some point this season, if you do have to include again, a Trey Lyles in a trade, and you want to go with more of a small ball or a hyperactive 5, then he might work off the bench. And so I'm here for it. Like, I think his skill set is really intriguing. He's super aggressive around the rim. He's got a soft touch. He's a super, super good kid. And so I'm kind of intrigued by what's happening there. And again, I think at the G League level, rebound better and continue to space the floor, show that you can shoot a 3. And, you know, I talked to him earlier this year and he told me he's been modeling his game after Aaron Gordon and after John Collins. Like, that's who he's been watching film of. And that made a lot of sense. Yeah. Like, that's the type of player he thinks he can be at the next level.
Well, boy, do we have some news for you.
Right. The thing
hopefully.
Hopefully, and very soon, I'll even take 401 because we got 102.5, so it's fine.
Yeah.
The thing with me with Isaac Jones, though, is when I see him, I don't see the athlete that I see with John Collins and Aaron Gordon. The key for him is going to be if he can get that jumper going. You know, if he can get that 3-point shot going, I think that's going to open up the NBA for him, because at least when I've seen him, he's not, like I said, the super athlete. So he's a little undersized when you start talking about a 5 or in some cases even a 4. You're going to have to be able to stretch your game out and be able to hit that 3. And if he can work, he's got plenty of time. I mean, sure, we could see him this year for sure, but he's a young guy. He's got time over this summer, maybe next 2 summers, like really work on being able to shoot that 3 ball consistently. I think that's his final ticket to the NBA, because he's got everything else. He's got the motor. You know, he can defend multiple positions. I like to see him rebound a little bit better as well. But if he can get that 3-point shot going, man, I'm talking – make 500 a day for the next 13 months, 14 months. That's going to get him into the NBA and get him paid.
No, I agree with you. I mean, there is, like, you can see right now that he doesn't have all of the skill set that you really want. And what he, you know, again, at the draft, he was listed at 6'7¾". You know, so he's a player who, you know, with shoes on at 6'9". He's got a 7'3 wingspan, and that's great. But again, you're talking about like sort of an undersized center. And in order for that to work, he's got to be able to, you know, again, get stronger, get more athletic if he can, which the Kings have done a great job of proving that they can improve somebody's athleticism. But, you know, he did put up a 35-inch vert at the combine, a max vert of 35. So, like, look, this is a guy that can get up, and a guy who's got the type of wingspan that they sort of crave, like that they need here in Sacramento. So I'm not going to say like that he doesn't have all of the physical tools, but I do think that, you know, he's a work in progress. He's an undrafted player, and you can't pin all your hopes and dreams to him. But we watched him go out and play Anthony Davis really well. Mm-hmm. We watched him go out and play some of those like long athletic guys that sometimes give the Kings fits. He's done really well against those guys, and so I would like to see more and more of him, especially once we get past the deadline. He is at like 37 games played, or he's been active for something like 37 games, and he only gets 50 on the two-way contract, and he cannot play in the playoffs. He's not eligible unless he's upgraded to a regular roster.
So let's work through this for a second, because this is what happened with Keon, I think it was a year ago. And they wound up just signing him to an NBA contract, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings do have an open roster spot right now?
They do, but you're in a position where if you go out and make a trade where you trade two players and bring back three, or you trade one player and bring back two, what you don't want to do is get in a situation where you have to waive a player. And I guess it's not that big of a deal to waive a player. You know, it's just, you know,
no, Jordan McLaughlin's not playing. So,
well, Jordan or Colby Jones or.
Well,
whoever,
oh, yeah. Keep Jordan. Yeah. Keep Jordan.
Damn.
So, I forgot Colby was here. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's not to be like mean to these
That's
guys,
right.
But it's kind of like you're at the
quickness
back end
that
of the
you
roster.
Said. And the certainty.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the first thing that you do, though, is you get through the trade deadline because, again, like these $2 million contracts right now, and like Jordan and like Alex Len's contracts at like 3.3. But again, I've told you guys this before, they're all on veteran minimum contracts. So there's this group of players that the Kings have that all count $2.1 million towards the cap. And that's it. And so, again, if you get into a trade where, let's say you don't want to take back extra money because you might need to go out and make some other move, but you trade Trey Lyles to Washington for Jonas Valanciunas, right? And in that trade, you want to match salaries. Then that's where the $2 million salary would really work out. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to waive guys when you don't have to. You want to wait until you get through, like on February 6th, your roster looks one way, and then that afternoon it looks totally different. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, you sort of bolster your roster the way that you need to. So I wouldn't doubt that a guy like Isaac Jones gets picked up for the rest of the year and gets something more like a 3-year deal that's all player. I mean, that's all team options for him moving forward. But that's kind of like where we're at with him. Like he's running out of his 50, you know, his availability for 50 NBA games.
We'll come back. We'll spend some more time with James Hamm of the Insiders, our Kings Insider here, and try to figure out if we can determine what's going on with the Kings over the next few hours, few days, few weeks. Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
KC, remind everybody what's jumping off on Prize Picks this weekend before we dive back into the Sacramento Kings conversation.
Prize Picks hooking you up. The Jaden Daniels free play is right there for you for this NFC Championship game. All he needs is half a yard passing.
and you've got that. You combine that with other plays that you may make in your lineup. I'm doing some beam money on Saturday. I think De'Aaron might cook a little bit. I think Malik going to be on that stage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be looking for Malik. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be looking for Malik, man.
Keep in mind, De'Aaron might, he's questionable
right
now.
This is true. This is true.
Keep that in mind.
So Malik, DeMontis always doing his thing. So you can add whatever you need to that lineup, mm-hmm. but they're giving you Jaden Daniels in the NFC Championship game, and best believe I'm taking that, man. So go put Jaden Daniels in there in your lineup. Get your first $5 lineup out there. Put the promo code KIFM in there, and you get $50 instantly, man. You don't need to win or anything like that. Just put the promo code KIFM into that promo code with your first $5 lineup. Boom, you got $50 instantly. You must be present in certain states. Prize Picks, run your game.
Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Hammer, you brought up a name a second ago. This is a hypothetical, but the man has acknowledged him and Mike Brown didn't have a good relationship. Would Sasha Vezenkov's NBA life have been a little bit different if Doug Christie was his head coach?
Like in all honesty, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, I really like Sasha. A very genuine dude. One of the great 3-point shooters, you know, again, like behind the scenes, like players will tell you, like, that dude did not miss. Like if they did shooting drills, it was something crazy, like, you know, 118 out of 120 shots or something he would make from behind the arc. I just think that, you know, certain players, they, in order to get them to play at the speed of the NBA game, it takes a long time to acclimate. And I don't know that he could do it. And the fact that he was, you know, he came over like 28 years old, and there was, you know, if he would have come over as like a 23-year-old, then maybe. But like you're talking about, you know, teaching an old dog new tricks. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know, like, if, again, if he was with an NBA training staff for a couple of years, they could work out some of the kinks in his, like, his body mechanics, but not all of them. And I think he could have been, you know, like a 12th man on an NBA bench. But, you know, I would much rather have a guy like Doug McDermott, who's at least fluid and athletic. You know, he's not a good defender. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great passer, but he's a smart basketball player and at least can move around the court really well. That's the problem I saw with Sasha. It's just his inability to, like, he just had heavy feet. And, you know, so it's tough when you're playing a game against, you know, super elite athletes. And Sasha went back to Europe and he's probably going to win another MVP. He's just been incredible. So, you know, like, good for him for being in Europe. It's still going to go down as a mess of a transaction, both to, you know, get him here, to pay him a good amount of money, and then to have to give up picks to get rid of him and then watch him walk away from his contract. That whole thing was kind of a mess.
Euro MVP has got as much value as a G League MVP at this
Seriously,
point.
For real. I think there is a possibility it goes differently, though. I think there's a possibility. I don't know.
Well, it's very clear he did not like Mike, and I don't think Mike liked him.
Yeah, and I think.
I don't know if it was like a personality issue.
Well, no, I don't mean dislike. I mean, Sasha's remarks were pretty strong. Well, he was like, I think he lied to me.
What happened? Mm-hmm. What happened from what I can tell? I don't have any insider info, but from what I can tell is he got here. It wasn't as fast or couldn't keep up with the NBA game, and Mike was like, I'm not gonna play him because he can't keep up. Whereas Doug would have been like, he probably can't keep up, but he can shoot. I want to get him out there so he can shoot, and we'll figure everything else out as much as possible. And alone would get him playing. It would get him playing more games. He also did get hurt too, though. He had that bad ankle sprain.
Yeah, he did. He missed a ton of time with the ankle
Kenny
sprain.
Told him to get well, and Sasha just ignored him.
That's a true story.
He said, we were walking into, hey, get well, big fella. Sasha looked at him like, all right, pal.
Like, who the hell are you?
That really happened.
Who in the Sam hell are you?
I forgot about
that. Can't lie. That is my favorite Sasha memory. I don't even know where we were going, but I heard that.
I think we were going into the arena. And
just
he
for
was
a
like,
game?
Yeah. Oh. And he was like coming out for whatever reason, maybe going to Chipotle or something. I don't know.
Was he like, I do not know who you are?
No, he just looked at him. That would have been too many words.
No, he just looked at him like, all right, pal, and kept walking.
Hey, he was in the locker room almost every single game, and I talked to him all the time. He's a very, very nice guy. It's just like there's a certain level of athleticism required to play in the NBA. And, you know, we see it all the time where players sit, you know, like at like slow-mo for the Warriors, Kyle Anderson. Like, he just plays it at a totally different pace, and somehow he's able to figure it out and work through it. That's just not what Sasha was. I mean, he doesn't have long arms. He doesn't, you know, so he couldn't, like, disguise some of his shortcomings as a defender. And I don't think, I mean, maybe it would have worked out a little differently, but I don't think so. Like, at the end of the day, you play the players that help your team win. And Mike didn't feel like that was a guy that was going to help them win. And maybe he's wrong. Maybe he's right. I don't know. But I certainly think that, you know, whatever happened there, you go over and you assess a player while they're in Europe, while they're playing against European players, and you think you have a good gauge on who they are and what they can do on the court. And then you get them in your gym and they can't keep up with the pace of play. And I think that that's all it came down to.
I think it was the Warriors game that he helped them win in the in-season tournament, where he played really, really, really well. I want to say he might have rolled his ankle that game or the very next game. So he had that moment where it was like, oh, damn, Sasha. Like, I remember Van Gundy was raving about him and all this other stuff. I was like, oh, okay, this – we love to see this. We get him in the rotation. And, man, it might have been that same game, late in that same game, where he rolled his ankle or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there are some things, some Mike Brown things to his tenure here. But the injury, he was always kind of behind the eight ball with his time here in Sacramento, it felt like.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Sasha was listed at 6. I want to say when he was in Europe, he was listed at 6'9". And as a Kings player, is listed at 6'9". From what I heard, somebody told me he might have been 6'6.5".
Like, damn.
There was, yeah, he was nowhere near 6'9" at all. So,
well, 6'9".
All right. Well, I was just wondering. I don't know. The world.
The world
seems different with Doug Christie as the head coach. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Sasha's like.
Do you think Derek Martin would have been really good under
Martin?
How would Buddy Hield have fared?
No. I told you about water
Martin
and wine.
I like Derek Martin. No. UCLA's own Derek Martin. He used to borrow golf clubs when I worked at Copeland's. He used to borrow golf clubs. He'd check them out and take them out on the road trips, and then Chris Webber would snap the heads off, and he'd bring them back and be like, "Sorry,
I've bring them back. Those are yours now, pal."
Wait, what?
demo clubs. We had demo clubs from. Yeah, when I worked at Copeland's, he would come in. Derek Martin would come in all the time. He was always super nice. And he would say, "Hey, can I check out a couple of, you know, clubs to go demo them and try them?" But he'd take him out on a road trip, and we knew he'd come back. We knew where to find him. I mean, like, show up at a game. Hey, give me my golf club.
Hey, how old do you think you have to be to know what Copeland's is?
42.
You got to be 40 plus, right?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, they closed in 2005, so.
Jesus Christ, that was a long. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago. Yeah. Wow. I left about 6 months before.
Do you know what Copeland's
is? It's a good question. Have you ever heard of Copeland's before?
Nope, I've never heard of it.
There you go.
Nope.
All right.
I was born in 2000.
Okay. Everyone used to go get 2 for $50 shoes, like out of the
not everyone.
Look, we know. Like, we know.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess about, I'd say 30. I don't know if 30-year-olds know what Copeland's is.
Yeah, I don't think they do. Yeah. How old are you again, Joe?
23, I think.
I just turned 24.
24. Okay. Yeah. We're just hiring children to work here at this point.
Yeah.
Let's find someone younger than Jesse.
My marriage is older than Joe, just so you guys know.
Copeland's was the spot, though. I got a good number of shoes out of Copeland's.
Copeland's is incredible. And then, like, the bigger stores were super cool. I worked downtown Plaza. I worked at Roseville forever.
Did I hear the Macy's in downtown Plaza is going away?
Yeah.
That's gone.
They're closing Macy's.
They got signs.
Oh, it's gone already?
Well, they got signs in closing. Like,
can
closing
I get my cologne on sale?
Yeah, they got crazy sale going on.
They've got that other company that comes in and sells off all your stuff. They're in there right now clearing that place out. Yeah, that place is almost done. What I've heard, that is going to be a second 5-star hotel in the DoCo.
Is there a first? Push.
The Sawyer.
Sawyer, I don't
that's
know.
A that's 5-star?
I think that's a 4-star.
Well, I think four we, or five.
What, no, I mean, it's supposed no, to be 5-star. Because I thought it was a 5-star too, but I think we looked it up one time. When they changed the parameters for the All-Star, we were like, well, we got one. And then we looked and we're like, oh, actually, we don't have one. Like, that Kempton Sawyer isn't a 5-star.
Okay, so it's a 4-star. But, you know, you need more hotel space downtown, especially with baseball going to be there and with the soccer field moving downtown. I think you're going to see that. And then the giant hole in the ground over on 3rd Street that was supposed to be a super high rise.
That frustrates me every time. It's literally the porch of your city. And they haven't done anything for 2 decades. I'm so frustrated by that.
Well, they had blown everything up and was going to build a second tower like the one a couple of blocks down. And then, I think that was around 2008, 2009 when the economy just, like, went in the tank. And so it's just been sitting there. But somebody else has, for what I know, that has been purchased and is going to be also built into another hotel.
We're never going to see an All-Star game.
I think that, didn't that land get, it went back to the Native Americans that it originally went to. I think that's what happened like this in the last 12 months. So I don't know what they're going
to
do.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible it's attached to one of the Native American tribes.
Can the tribes hit a three? Can they stop Jokic? Can they stop Jokic from getting 22 rebounds?
No, nobody can.
Or 17 assists?
No.
Can anyone stop him from putting up outrageous numbers like that?
No. I was frustrated last night, though, because he just stands on defense, and every time they put him in pick-and-roll action, it was a wide-open shot. And I was like, why don't they do this every time down the court? But
you know what I hate when he does, and sorry to the radio audience, is he just gets the ball, and he's standing in a position because he's going to make a play, and he just kind of – he's I'm here. No, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. And he's just like he begrudgingly just like, I'm going to get, no, you're covered. Forget it. And then just, I'm going to
one leg, just a one leg.
I truly don't care about this stupid game. Go in. Let's get out of here.
It's really one of the most remarkable things ever. You look at his advanced statistics, and Kyle and I discussed this earlier. It's he will go down as one of the greatest players of all time.
Absolutely.
And statistically speaking, he might go down as the greatest player statistically speaking of all time. And I mean, he's in line to win a fourth MVP, and I don't know who can stop him. I mean, everyone wants to talk about Shea or whatever, but look at the numbers, what he's doing. It's just insane. I mean, he's over 30 points, he's averaging over 13 rebounds, and he's averaging 10 assists, he's averaging a triple double, but he's doing it with 30 points, and he's doing it while leading his team to victory. And I mean, seriously, what he's been able to do is just remarkable. He's a one of one for sure.
Yeah, he's special.
He's so good, he's drowning out other great players. Mm-hmm. Like, Giannis is not getting the attention he deserves because Jokic is so good. Domas is not getting the attention he deserves because another big white European player is doing the exact same thing at a slightly higher level. Crazy. Yeah, like, he's so good, he drowns out other players.
If Domas played in any other era, he would be thought of. Man. Thought of in a totally different way.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Still got Giannis at number one, though, but Jokic, I won't argue with anybody who says Jokic is number one. Not gonna do that. He's unbelievable. What was the stat line again? 35, 22, and 17?
That's it. Yep.
My God.
With two block shots and a steal.
Oh, my goodness.
We added up, you know, like in your prize picks there, you can do the over more or less than points, rebounds, and assists combined. Go ahead and do the math there. I think it's 74 is what he put up, points, rebounds, assists.
Oh, my God.
Last night? 74. I bet you it was like, it might have been like 52 or 54 coming into that game. But 74? That's absolutely wild.
He's going to, I know this is an open conversation this year. He's going to catch my boy, isn't he? He's going to catch Russ.
Well, he might not play that long.
Well, that's, yeah, because he hates basketball. Thank God.
Austin Rivers was saying, like, you could see him leave. Like, Austin was like, he could probably leave. He probably will leave in, like, 3-4 years and just be done with it.
I don't know.
Austin,
who knows?
He fell short of saying he really hates all this stuff, but he was like,
if someone said that, I'd absolutely believe them.
Austin, because Austin was said, no, well, not no, but he got a good idea because he played with Jokic. He's like, he's really not into all this stuff. Like, he really, really isn't. And I could see him, you might get another 4 years of Jokic and then he'll just go.
Jokic has 167 triple doubles. Russ has like 200, like one or something.
Wow.
He's gonna catch Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
He might catch Russell Westbrook with Russell Westbrook on his team.
Well, he advocated for it. He did. He said, I want Russ. Go get Russ. Shout out to Jokic.
Hey. Oh, shout out to Russ. Russ has been incredible for Denver.
Mm-hmm.
He has been absolutely incredible. I love the clip that I think we were on break when it popped up, but Russ had a triple double and a reporter was like, you know, you won like 74% of your games. Your team has won 74% of your games when you've gotten a triple double. Mm-hmm. So really, 74%? Like, wow. So yeah, Jokic has won 76. He's like, oh, man. No, that was a great clip. Russ seems to be having fun in Denver.
Yeah, and they love
I might root for the Nuggets to win a championship.
I'll settle down.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, if Sacramento can, I'm gonna root for Denver to win.
No, still settle down.
I'll do whatever I want. Who are you going to root for? The Lakers?
Not the Nuggets.
I'll root for Michael. Well, no, I'm not going to root for him. I'm going to root for Russell Westbrook.
Root for the Knicks. What you talking about?
I root for Michael Malone.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It's just kinda, thoughts exactly.
Oh, fine. That's fine.
I root for Luke Walton.
Wow. Where's Luke Walton? Detroit?
Yeah.
He's with JB, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Shout out to JB.
Yeah, we got Dave Yeager in Milwaukee. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been riding with Doc for a little bit now, right? Philly?
Philly. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Good for Dave Yeager. All right, so I guess John Collins, maybe he gets traded in about 10 minutes. Right when we say goodbye. Hey, news. James Ham's confirmed.
Do you think it's that close? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know, man. I have, as I know James has been working the phones all day, I have asked multiple people in several different walks of life about like any semblance of what the parameters of the deal is. And no one, multiple people have said it's really close. Not one person will respond with what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So can you give me a player? Like, just tell me. Is draft picks involved? Like, anything? I can't get anything.
It's not that complicated, though. Like, there's only a couple ways to get there.
I don't think it is. And maybe there is something to the Jimmy Butler thing, only because Utah has picks. They have ways to get involved to acquire more picks. They have ways to get involved and alleviate salary restraints from another team. They have ways to get involved and just kind of not bring anyone back, but maybe reap some of the benefits of it. And I don't know. Maybe it's all. How did the Sacramento Kings season go down the toilet, Pat Riley? That's the story of this season. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to put it all together, but we've been trying to find out all day, and we got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we did talk about this. Somebody asked earlier about like the like sort of the functionality of a trade. And people should just understand that, like, NBA trades are not at all what they look like. It's not like three players swap for two players. Very seldom does it work out just that way. It's usually like a very complex series of small trades. And I think that that's what we could see here. I mean, keep an eye on Milwaukee as a team that would jump in on a trade And so say the Kings were to send a trade exception to Milwaukee and Milwaukee was to send a player or, you know, a combination of players using multiple trade exceptions to a team like Utah to match up some of the salary and then have a team like Milwaukee give up some of the draft capital that you need to make that deal work. Milwaukee's $10 million over the second apron, and they would love to get underneath that second apron. And I don't know exactly what the dollar amount is, but I think when you're over the second apron, it's close to like either $4 or $5 for every dollar you're over. Mm. So if you're $10 million over the second apron, you're talking about a tax payment of like $40 or $50 million. So if you can help them take on, like, say you take on $6 million of salary from them and it goes to Utah as part of a trade and all they take on is an exception, that $6 million is worth like maybe 30 or maybe 24 million. I mean, it's worth a ton of money to that franchise. Mm-hmm. So that's how you can get some of these other teams involved and potentially move around to get the draft capital that you don't have right now to make a trade work. And I don't know what they have, like, as far as like trade assets, as far as draft picks and stuff, as far as Milwaukee, but that's just one team that I would look at. And any other team that's over the first apron, over the second apron, you might be able to somehow get them involved using trade exceptions to, in order to save money.
We kind of laid out some of the options and you're familiar with them. Which one would you go with? Like, would you be waiting around for Cam because that's your number one? Or do you think John Collins is a better move and you should just kind of lock in on that right now if you're the Kings?
Yeah, so I wrote about this weekend on the Kings beat, and I went like super long form on a comparison between Cam Johnson and John Collins. And there's a couple of things that just stand out. First of all, John Collins has been in the league 2 years longer than Cam Johnson, and he's 2 years younger than Cam Johnson. So let that one sink in. He came into the NBA in 2017, and Cam came in 2019. Mm-hmm. And Cam is 29, and John Collins is only 27. So right there, that's one thing. Secondly, the contracts are both like intriguing contracts. They're not like outlandish contracts. Cam has 2 years left after this year. So I like Cam's contract better because it's I think it's $20.5 million next year and 21.5 this year, the year after, where John Collins is under contract next year at $26.5 million, but it's player option. I could see if he was traded to the Kings asking him if he would opt out of that contract and do what they did with Harrison Barnes, where they signed him to a longer term deal, but like a declining scale contract, like, hey, can you opt out of the 26.5, but we'll give you 23, 21, 19, and then a team option of $17 million for the year after that, something like that. And so you can lock a player up, but just as players go, I like John Collins better as a player. He's not as good, as a defender as Cam Johnson. He's not as switchable as Cam Johnson, but he can play the four and the five. He's like twice the rebounder that Cam is. They're both great shooters from the perimeter, but John Collins can go back to the basket and get you buckets, and John Collins can score off the lob way better than Cam Johnson. So I think he's a way more versatile scorer. And I also think that John Collins is a player who has consistently shown that he knows who he is and can come in and fit into a system. Whether you need him shooting the three or a back to the basket guy or in a pick and roll situation, it doesn't matter. He can do all of those things. And I trust his numbers more than I trust Cam Johnson's. Cam Johnson is a player who has faded or not been able to stand out in a crowd multiple times in his career. And while I think he's a very good player, I worry that he's more Keegan Murray personality than he is, you know, someone who's going to come in and say, hey, I'm a 19 point per game scorer and I'm going to give you something close to that or like a version of that off the bench at 15 points or something every night. I would be more worried that he would shrink back to be like a 12 or 13 point per game guy, where John Collins is going to come in and do what he does.
How are we feeling about the weekend in New York or the next couple games
cold.
In New York?
Gonna be cold.
That's gonna be the one that they get the next game, like of the t-
tough games mm-hmm. on the road trip, I think they're going to get the Knicks.
Okay.
Oh.
Kenny turning on his Knicks. Wow. Just steel chair to Spike Lee. I like it.
1-1. Maybe 2-0, but 1-1 is what I would expect. I think the Knicks are tough.
Knicks are definitely tough. They are.
There will be no substitutions in that game.
No, I don't think there will be. No, I do not.
We created everybody. We can't sub any of you guys in.
Yeah. Yeah. Kings and Knicks, no subs.
No, them boys are going to be out there working. But as James said, they'll stay in the same hotel room. They got the Knicks. And then instead, was it last year they had to go to Boston, then come back and play Brooklyn? Yeah. They don't have to do that this year. They'll do what should always be done. You play the Knicks, and then a day later or 2 days later, you play the Brooklyn Nets, and that's where we're at. It's just a question of will anything be done before then. Rumors picked up pretty hot and heavy today regarding the Sacramento Kings and John Collins. We'll see if that leads to anything. We'll see if De'Aaron Fox is on the floor. We'll see if one final pursuit. They are in New York. Maybe one final pursuit, one final face-to-face conversation with Sean Marks could land Cam Johnson. Or we'll just be back with the same team on Monday. Who knows? But either way, we'll be here to cover it on Sacramento Sports Leader beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader. I'll get it. I'll learn how to talk. It's fine. No, we got this. Well-oiled machine, baby, on ESPN 1320.
Vamos, D-Lo.